live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Met Aaron says the worst of Storm Brendan has passed over most of the country. However, the northwest may experience some red-level winds this evening. It's emerged that Seaview Respite Service in Mount Charles has not opened today as was scheduled. With an election on the horizon, questions are now being asked about the terms of reference for the Mica Redress Scheme, which have yet to be published. And a consultant geriatrician at Letterkenny University Hospital says if an acute stroke unit is not approved and established in 2020, he will not remain at the hospital. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. But first in news, Met Aaron says the worst of Storm Brendan has passed over most of the country. However, orange level winds are forecast for Galway, Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal up until 7 o'clock this evening. Donegal County Council Severe Weather Assessment Team are continuing to actively monitor the impact of the storm. Roads crews are responding to a number of fallen trees across the county, while ESB crews are currently working to restore power to homes and businesses in Cullion, Derrybeg and Bundoran. Wind speeds are expected to pick up again this evening. Head of forecasting Evelyn Cusick says the northwest may even experience some red level winds this evening.
But for most of the country, winds have dipped back into yellow or even slightly below. But for the northwest, for the next number of hours, winds still into the orange levels and even gusts into the red just on the coast. So we're talking about, say, between 4 p.m. and maybe 7 p.m.
It's emerged that Seaview Respite Service in Mount Charles has not reopened today as was scheduled. The HSE had confirmed that the centre would open today on a five-day-a-week basis. However, parents were left furious upon being informed just this morning that the centre would not be reopening. The centre was due to initially reopen in July of 2019. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is demanding that Seaview reopens immediately.
This respite centre at Seaview House in Marsnella was due to open last July and then was prolonged. There was a public meeting in November. We were assured by the Minister and by the HSE that it would be open on the 13th of January, that's today. And I've got numerous calls from parents who are furious, and understandably so, that it is not open today. And when I make inquiries with the HSE, I'm told that the keys have not been handed over and that the legal documents transfer are awaited. This is not good enough. We've had many false dawns, and I am insisting that it opens immediately. It's unfair to parents, it's unfair to children.
And no doubt serious questions now will need to be answered.
Well, the questions are very serious. I don't believe that the HSE should have waited until the morning that was due to open to advise parents when they made contact with them. So I would hope that by the close of business today, or indeed by tomorrow, that we should have something definite. But I believe it should be days and not weeks.
Leo Varadkar has met with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson this afternoon to discuss the restored Stormont executive. It comes just a few days ahead of the expected announcement of a general election. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
This meeting between Leo Varadkar and Boris Johnson had far less tension than their previous encounters, with Brexit sorted, for now at least, and the Stormont executive back up and running, something both leaders welcomed.
In the last few years, they haven't been used as much as they could, and we're determined now and ready to make a great success of that and take that forward.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. To me, the Good Friday Agreement is visionary, and the Good Friday Agreement is working again.
And Leo Varadkar has been keen to trumpet the success in getting Stormont back up and running, as well as a solid performance on Brexit. It'll form a core part of his election pitch in the coming weeks, but he gave no further clue today as to when that election will be, most expected to be called on Thursday, with polling day as February 7th. Varadkar has made his mind up and will hope to look every part the statesman in the coming days before announcing when exactly people will take to the polls. Sean Defoe at Stormont.
As national attention focuses on the prospect of a February election, speculation is growing as to what will happen in Donegal. Former Fianna Fáil deputy Niall Blaney believes Sinn Féin Senator Padraig McLaughlin will be targeting a Dáil return, but he believes the most interesting battle may be within Fine Gael. On today's 9 till noon show, Mr Blaney said Minister Joe McHugh's running mate, Councillor Martin Harley, will garner significant support.
For me, the question will be, which Fine Gael candidate gets the seat. I think that the sitting minister is under a lot of pressure. I suppose Pat McLaughlin would be hoping to knock on the door again to take a seat. There may be not a lot much change in Donegal, possibly some personnel within one of the parties, and maybe not.
Peter Casey has confirmed he will be contesting the upcoming general election. The former Dragon's Den investor will seek a Dáil seat in Donegal. He came second in the 2018 presidential election and missed out in a bid to become an MEP last year. He says he will be focusing on the need for investment in rural Ireland. He has told the Irish Independent that he says it is as it is and isn't in politics for money. Meanwhile, in his show base, Michael White, the chairperson of the Green Party in Donegal, has been confirmed as the party's general election candidate for the county. He says he will contest the election and local issues, but with a firm eye on the wider climate crisis. He believes people are more aware of environmental issues than ever before.
Because of Greta Thunberg, because of David Attenborough, there's an increasing awareness around the country that this is a really serious issue and we have to deal with it. So hopefully it is a green wave.
There has been a perception that people will show an interest in the Green Party and people will take an interest in green issues, but when it comes to going into that booth, a lot will return to type and vote for one of the main parties. Do you think this time it's different? Is there a real sea change?
I really hope so. I think everybody realises that the impact is going to affect everyone. It's not just going to affect people in D4. And if the UN is right and we only have 10 years to sort this out, that leaves two elections, this election and the next election. And the indications are from the elections in 2019 and elections across Europe, people are changing their minds. They're not sticking with the traditional parties. They're deciding to swing to the Green Party. So I'm very hopeful that will be the case here as well.
You'll be fighting the coming general election on two fronts, in a sense. You'll be fighting it on that wider climate issue, the global issue, as it were. But you'll also be tackling local issues, and you've made it quite clear that you won't be shirking those issues.
That's correct. There's a broad range of local issues that are high priority for everybody across the county. So access to healthcare will be a big deal. And transport's been a big issue. Recently, for example, in Inishowen, the bus transport to LYAT was almost cut. So those are hot-button topics for voters locally, so we'll be addressing those, but with the big focus being on the climate crisis and how to tackle that.
And with an election on the horizon, questions are now being asked about the terms of reference for the Mica redress scheme, which have yet to be published. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConloch says this is not an issue that needs Dáil approval, and he sees no reason why the document should not be published immediately.
I wouldn't expect it to be published during the election. That would be unlikely, but they could publish it before the election. They could publish it today. It's not something that has to go through the Dáil, and I would be calling on the government to actually publish it immediately, to put it out there and actually live up to their promise. They could do today, they could do tomorrow, and they should. I don't know if they will. That's a call for them.
A consultant geriatrician at Letterkenny University Hospital says if an acute stroke unit is not approved and established in 2020, he will not remain at the hospital. Professor Ken Mulpeter says a unit had been approved before the flood of 2013, and again it was approved last year but was sidelined because of what he says is an effective moratorium. Professor Mulpeter says a proper stroke unit should be an integral part of any acute hospital, and the situation in Letterkenny at present, he says, is an embarrassment. He says despite promises, there has yet to be a firm commitment.
We don't have any definite news that we're going to get the funding for the staff yet. I have lots of reassurances that we'll do something, Ken, we'll get it sorted out, but I don't actually have a time or a date when we're going to open the stroke unit, and we need it now.
One of the issues is the HSE is effectively saying, no, there isn't a recruitment embargo, we're appointing staff as necessary. So there appears to be certainly a difference between what the HSE and SAILDA are saying officially and what's actually being experienced on the ground.
If you would appoint anybody in Letterkenny University Hospital, has to go to SAILDA first and then go to Central HSE for any job, even replacement posts. These are new posts and they have been refused, essentially. It's a nonsense.
There is a unit in St Connell's which has been functioning for some time.
Yeah,
but you need more than that.
Well, that's for basically post-acute care, and sometimes there'll be patients in there for a few months for rehabilitation. But this is for the patient who comes in the door with a stroke and where they go from ED. If a small number go to Beaumont, but apart from those patients, we need them to go to a unit where they'll be looked after carefully, where we'll deal with the complications of stroke, look at their blood pressure, make sure they don't get pneumonia, look at their swallow, get early physio, early occupational therapy, early speech therapy, and get them on the road to recovery as soon as possible.
How much is it going to take to get the unit you want? And once you have the clearance, how long is it going to take to get it up and running?
Well, I would hope that we would get the nurses in place fairly quickly, and hopefully then the physios and OTs maybe take slightly longer, because there's a panel a national panel for physios and OTs. But I think we just need a unit with the name off of the drawer and we're up and running.
It can be done in 2020 if the money is there.
It can be. It better be done in 2020 or I won't be here.
A sports capital grant of almost €327,000 has been announced for the development of a sports campus project at Letterkenny Institute of Technology. The investment will see LYIT working hand in hand with Donegal County Council, Ladies Gaelic Football Association and Cricket Ireland to draw up a plan and assess how to bring the proposal of a €13 million regional sports campus to life. The long-term plan includes the creation of a hub with a number of pitches, a training area, a hurling wall, walking trail, outdoor gym, playground, a cross-country route, athletic sprint track, changing room facilities and floodlights. Education Minister Joe McHugh hopes the development can benefit not just LYIT but the whole county.
This is an application led by Donegal County Council on behalf of LYIT. It's a very, very ambitious project. It's sports facilities. It's going to cater for the college itself, obviously, but it's going to be a wider vision to include cricket but also ladies Gaelic. And that is a very, very significant commitment to the sport, which is the fastest growing sport in Europe. But it's a significant statement and intent for the region, and in particular for LYIT's journey towards university status. And I just want to acknowledge the leadership of Paul Hannigan and also Seamus Neely in that regard.
And as you say, it is enhancing LYIT in moving it forward.
Yeah, and look, there's a great focus at the moment on sport and recreation, and the whole education system going through the primary and secondary system is evolving to ensure that not just physical sport as an activity but also the science behind sport and also physical literacy. So there's a whole drive towards that type of educational model, and LYIT now is presenting itself with that vision. It's going to be a €13 million project. It's important now we get the groundwork together, but it's really good to see the local authority coming in firmly behind us as well, because one thing the council does well is to ensure that whatever all county approach and even an all regional approach, it caters for all. But in particular, the college itself has made massive ground in the last number of years. It's very ambitious. It's ambitious for the region and ambitious for the county. And I just want to acknowledge them once again.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get everything you need for training and match days in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Tyrone have suffered a further blow with an injury to defender Michael McKernan, which will keep him out of action for most of the National Football League campaign. The Coal Island club man, who was nominated for the Young Footballer of the Year in 2018, was badly hurt while playing for University of Ulster Jordanstown in the Sigerton Cup against UCD at the weekend. He is understood to have suffered broken ribs and a punctured lung following an accidental clash with an opposing player. The setback follows the news that skipper Matty Donnelly will miss the Division 1 campaign due to a serious hamstring injury which required surgery. Tyrone, of course, opened their league schedule with a home game against newly promoted Meath on a Sunday week at Hilly Park. Dublin could be without Conor Callan for the start of the league as well. The two-time All-Star picked up a shoulder injury prior to yesterday's Sigerton Cup game between UCD and UUJ. The All-Ireland champions begin their league campaign against Kerry on Saturday, the 25th of January. Well, the LYT will play Sligo IT in the quarterfinals of the Sigerson Cup next Sunday. Letterkenny progressed with victory over Athlone yesterday, a win in their first ever Sigerson game. Sligo IT will host the tie as the LYT look to make history once again and set up a semi-final against the holders UCC or IT Carlow. The respective wins yesterday mean Letterkenny and Sligo do stay at Sigerson level for another season. LYT manager Michael Murphy wants his side to enjoy the journey.
To be there and to be a part of it now is just, it's a journey we're enjoying. And as I said to the boys coming off the back of the huddle, you know, it was brilliant that the way they recorded themselves today and the one was a cherry on top, but let's just enjoy the journey now and let's enjoy getting into the next game against Sligo and let's see where it takes us. And as I say, if we can, number one, if we can recover from this game and just get ourselves competitive next week, that's the first step of it. And as I say, we'll see where it goes from there.
Ulster has never had a president of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, but Michael Nocton is looking to change that. The former Donegal senior team manager announced at the Ulster convention on Sunday that his name will go forward into the race for the top job at the ladies' table. Michael, who has held every position at county and Ulster level, has a busy period ahead with Congress to take place in Galway in March. He wants to bring the good work already done to the next level.
We have made huge, huge strides in the last number of years, and I want to continue that. Also to work with the Men's GAA, and what you rightly see, basically, in the last number of years, and I've been on management in Croke Park, we have done a lot of work with the Men's Association, and now we're getting double headers at league, we're getting double headers at championships, we're getting into Croke Park and playing in league games. I mean, and this is huge, huge strides for our association and that. So again, you know, there's a lot in our association that we've done right, and when you see the men, basically, you know, introducing the sin bin that we had in our association, now they're talking about maybe the men bringing it in the clock for their game. So, I mean, the Ladies Association has done an awful lot of stuff right. I mean, of course, we always strive to be better, and I mean, and our goal is basically, you know, is to continue to work with the grassroots of our association, work with the people that are on the ground, I mean, because they are the people that built our association, and they're the people that we have to make sure we're listening to, because if we listen with them and work with them, I've no doubt, Betty, we'll get our goal, that Betty, we want to have a full house in Croke Park, you know, and Betty, you know, look at this year, we had 55,000 at our All-Ireland final. So, Betty, the goal is, Betty, to build on that, get more profile, basically, and also to look after the players and get recognition for the players that give so much of their time also.
There's more with Michael Nocton, available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Now to soccer. Anti-discrimination group Kick It Out has labelled the constant anti-Irish sectarian abuse suffered by James McLean as unacceptable. The Republic of Ireland international again suffered such abuse during Stoke's scoreless draw with Millwall on Saturday. Kick It Out say greater action must be taken by the authorities to safeguard McLean's safety and that of his family. Two Inish Own sides will compete in the last 16 of the FAI Junior Cup for the first time in their history. Buncrana Hearts and Greencastle won their respective ties over the weekend against Rosemount and St Michael's. Two huge results, but for Greencastle, it was the shock of the round as they dumped the holders Michaels out of the competition, winning after extra time 2-1. Chairman of Greencastle is Pat McLaughlin.
Chaplin, we know we can beat them, we have a full team. These boys are great footballers. And like even Smickle by the same, you know, it was a great footballing game today, like big crowd in Chapel Lane, like, and honestly, like, I'd rather watch that game today than watch a game on TV now. It's just unbelievable, like the buzz you get out of it. You know, it's great for Greencastle too. It's such a good year last year too now, and, you know, we're not going too well in the league, but we know what these boys are capable of, like, and they're great footballers.
One game tonight in the Irish League Premiership, and it's a tasty affair scheduled for the top flight. Joint top of the table is Cliftonville with Glentoran on 50 points, and they will host third place Linfield in tonight's game, which gets underway at 7:45. The FAI confirmed today that Limerick United will compete in underage leagues this season. They'll replace Limerick FC, who were denied a licence to compete at senior level in 2020. Limerick FC's place in the First Division controversially went to Shamrock Rovers 2 this week. And finally in snooker, Ulster's Mark Allen begins his 2020 Masters campaign tonight. The 2018 champion goes up against last year's world semi-finalist Dave Gilbert at Alexander Palace at 7 o'clock. It's the best of 11 frames. That's it, Michaela. Next Sport in Highland tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, the preferred options for the 10T Priority Ridge Improvement Project have been published today. The document covers three sections of road, the Twin Towns Bypass, the Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham Road, and the road from Manor Cunningham to Lifford, linking with Strabane and the A5. Greg Hughes has more.
Donegal County Council says the option selection report, which details the preferred option corridor for each section of road, will be on display at the County House Lifford, at each public service centre throughout the county, and the Twin Towns Library in Stranorlar during normal working hours. The report and all its appendices can also be downloaded free of charge on the Donegal 10T website. Donegal County Council says the next phase of the project will develop the design and undertake an environmental impact assessment of the design. As part of the ongoing development of the project, further surveys will take place throughout the study areas. These include visual walkover surveys as well as ground investigation works. Landowners will be contacted in advance of these surveys regarding access arrangements. The council says, as the project develops, the 10T land liaison team at the Council's National Roads Office will be in contact with affected land and property owners throughout this year. Public liaison officers and, where necessary, members of the project team will be available to discuss any queries with affected land or property owners at any stage of the project development.
And finally, men and women sheds are being allocated €500,000 by the Department of Community Development. €30,000 has been sanctioned for 26 groups in Donegal. It's the first time women sheds are being funded, with 33 groups nationally availing of the grants. A full list of all local benefiting groups is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Weather now. Storm Brendan will continue to bring severe and locally damaging wind gusts this evening with scattered thundery showers. There is a high risk of coastal flooding due to a combination of onshore winds, spring tides and storm surge. Very windy or stormy for a time early tonight, with minimum temperatures of 1 to 4 degrees, with the risk of frost in sheltered spots. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Met Eireann says the worst of Storm Brendan has passed over most of the country. However, orange level winds are forecast for Galway, Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal up until 7 o'clock this evening. Donegal County Council's Severe Weather Assessment Team are continuing to actively monitor the impact of the storm. It's emerged that Seaview Respite Service in Mount Charles has not reopened today as was scheduled. The HSE had confirmed that the centre would reopen today on a five-day-a-week basis. As national attention focuses on the prospect of a February election, speculation is growing as to what will happen in Donegal. Former Fianna Fáil Deputy Niall Blaney believes Sinn Féin Senator Padraig McLaughlin will be targeting a dull return, but he believes the most interesting battle may be within Fine Gael. And a consultant geriatrician at Letterkenny University Hospital says if an acute stroke unit is not approved and established in 2020, he will not remain at the hospital. Professor Kenmal Peters says a unit had been approved before the flood of 2013, and again it was approved last year, but was sidelined because of what he says is an effective moratorium. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, January the 13th. The death has taken place of Jean Brown, late of 279 Sperrin Park. Funeral service in her son Tom's home, 2 Adelaide Avenue, at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, followed by burial in Ballyowen Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desired, made payable to Cancer Research NI, care of Adair and Neely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Peggy McNamee, 66 Mourne Park, Newton Stewart. Peggy's remains are reposing at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, leaving at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Church, Glenauk, with burial afterwards in Glenauk Cemetery. The death has occurred of Phyllis Keeney, Kiltoy, Letterkenny, Nay Gavigan, Tully Cleeve, Ardra. Phyllis's remains will repose at her home today and tomorrow from 12 noon until rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Surgical 2, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of Father Kevin O'Doherty, former parish priest of Newton Cunningham. Father Kevin's remains are reposing at the parish house, Newton Cunningham. Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of May O'Halpin, Glencar, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, until 8 o'clock tonight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 12 noon in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. House private and family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Jim McGlynn, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Norman Graham Vance. Funeral service at Knighead Presbyterian Church, Moffat, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Burial at Monray Presbyterian Church Burial Ground immediately after the service. Wake at 11 Woodlands at Ballynagrad, Culmore. Family time between 10 p.m. and 10 a.m. Donations if desired to Alzheimer's Society, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Raymond McDade, formerly Killyvery, Newton Cunningham. Remains are reposing at his daughter and son-in-law Lisa and Vincent Tully's home at Sharon Rectory, Manor Cunningham. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral.
The death has taken place of Mary McLoon, née Cregan, 17 Thistlewood Park, Ford Springs, Derry. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 to St Columbus Church Long Tower for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Family flowers only, if wished, donations in lieu to William Street Residential Home care of any family member or Sean Carr of Carr Family Funeral Services. The death has taken place of Patrick James Kelly, Jimmy Leenan, Urs Clamani. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Michael's Church, Urs, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Buncrana Nursing Unit, care of Comsky Funeral Directors or any family member. House private, please, from 9 p.m. until 10 a.m. And the death has taken place of David Hugh Crossan, Gordon Amona, Quigley's Point. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Patrick's Church, Ishgahain, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.